You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Purpose is, I guess, to close the gap in life outcomes for our children and families and eliminate the disproportionate representation of our children in the child protection system by 2037. The foundation I have the honour of leading was engaged by the Queensland Government to co-design the strategy together with individual communities and the government, and to elevate and amplify the voices from community on what true healing looks like and what it means to our families and our communities and how we can all work together to create pathways towards achieving some of those healing outcomes.
You said the aim of the strategy is to close the gap. What is the current situation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and families in Queensland?
Well, we know that more than 4,400 stolen generation survivors live in Queensland. And this is the highest proportion of stolen generation survivors, at 21%, despite Queensland having the lowest rate of removal of those survivors from their families. The latest data also tells us that currently more than 4,000 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children in Queensland are still living away from home, removed from their families by child safety. We know that 28%, just over 28% of Australia's stolen generation survivors live in Queensland, and a third of Queensland's Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander population are descendants of stolen generations at roughly 32%. This is the second highest population of stolen generations descendants in Australia, and I think second to WA. We're helping those populations understand the origins of trauma. We're helping them, working alongside them, to make meaning of healing and healing efforts. And from our organisation's point of view, you know, healing refers to the recovery from the psychological and physical impacts of trauma, which is largely the result of colonisation and past government policies. And as we look to the future, we want to truly understand what aspects of healing Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Queenslanders need in place in community to achieve real change. Through co-designing the strategy, we're trying to tackle that intergenerational trauma and to unpack how those origins of trauma are still barriers to social, health and economic and well-being outcomes for our peoples.
When you talk about trauma, what do you observe in those communities and those people?
So the strategy is a chance for Queensland to chart a way forward and to heal past hurt and break that cycle of intergenerational trauma for future generations. So the process of colonisation included the forced removal of children from their families, the suppression of language and culture, dispossession from country, a disruption of kin network, and of course massacres. The destruction of an independent economic basis for living has had profoundly negative health and well-being effects on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. In the yarns we've already had, the communities we're working alongside, we know that the effects of these events and incidences are still being felt. They are the origins of trauma I mentioned earlier. So we know that survivors, and we know that when they were removed, they were often victims of psychological and physical abuse. This meant they live most of their lives in a state of trauma. Any human being lives in a state of trauma. They're in fight, flight or freeze because we all have central nervous systems that help to protect us, monitor stress. But when that kicks in for any human being, a large part of our brains are actually shut down and we don't see possibilities clearly and we don't access rational or logical thinking. And it means the options open to people who aren't in a state of trauma are much larger, are much greater. And you can make clear choices about your way forward and how you respond to stressful circumstances in life. Compared to those who live in trauma, where the focus of the brain is to protect you. And so you're just thinking about your stress response, whether you fight, flight or freeze. So we know as the Healing Foundation that many of the funded, well-funded programs and policies that attempt to close the gap could probably be made more effective if there was a trauma lens put on these programs in their design. We know that if it was understood clearly and embedded quite purposefully in the design of these programs and policies, you would be able to address the need for trauma recovery in individuals, families and communities. When we address that, when we help people manage their trauma, they're more likely to see the full range of options available to them to become healthier, to become well, to see what's possible in terms of restoring, reclaiming and revitalizing those components in our cultures that make us well and strong and happy, and to move forward on that continuum of healing.
Who is involved to help create this healing strategy?
Well, we've been travelling around Queensland, talking with elders, young people, families and community organisations, also healers, about what healing means and looks like for individuals, their families and in their community. The Queensland government as well is heavily involved with a number of representatives from across government departments, senior officials overseeing the work, working closely with us to look at what their most powerful next step is as they become informed of the themes in the strategy. We've got a group of knowledge holders, a range of wonderful individuals from across Queensland who are experienced and knowledgeable in the space of healing, trauma in community, but also steering. We've got wonderful project partners in Leanne Wilson and Stacey Goss who are leading out the project. While we are isolating to keep our mob safe, there are ways to get connected to the healing strategy for those who haven't yet. And our website is probably the easiest place for people to go to.
There are also going to be some virtual yarning circles. How is that going to look like?
Yeah, so we've been co-hosting yarning gatherings thus far, prior to COVID-19, up in St. George, Gold Coast and Inala. The next phase of yarning circles in Cairns, Rockhampton and Yarrabah, and they will be virtual, as you say. We're using video conferencing to conduct those circles. We've had a couple of trials already in other areas of another project that the Healing Foundation works on across the country, and they've been quite successful. So it's really important that we continue the great work, hear the voices we're yet to hear in a number of areas from across Queensland.
I think last question, there's a deadline where people can submit their ideas about healing or what they need.
We encourage people to get online now. We're asking people to dream big and let us know their thoughts and feelings and to have their say by the 8th of May. You can do this by completing an online survey or submitting an organisational submission. You can share a healing initiative that works via a case study template that we're providing on the website. You can have a yarn by email with us at qldstrategy@healingfoundation.org.au and we can call you back. And you can also share a creative piece on what healing means for you, such as poetry, art, images or songs. So 8th of May is that deadline, and yeah, we look forward to hearing from you if we haven't yet.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.